Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud. Today is Wednesday, February 26th, 2014. This is the 63rd episode of Thinks Out Loud. Thank you so much for tuning in again. I always appreciate it. I know I say this every week, but I cannot emphasize enough the fact that, you know, I just wouldn't do this if you weren't here. So I really appreciate it. It's always good to have you here. Well, we've been having kind of an extended conversation here on Thinks Out Loud over the last, oh gosh, what, 7-8 weeks now, about strategy and about strategy for e-commerce and digital marketing and internet marketing and how you can make your strategy work in the real world. You know, we started way back in episode 56 with your 2014 internet marketing New Year's resolutions. Then we talked about how do you develop a strategy in episode 57. We talked about how you develop a strategy in a changing world, how it is you actually can keep your strategy going where you want and make sure that you're doing the right things when there's so much change every single day in this crazy internet marketing world in which we live. And so then we built on that in episode 58 and talked about how your customers are changing. Then in episode 59, we talked about are they ready, they, your customers, ready for mobile commerce. Had a little bit of a discussion in episode 60 about what internet marketing strategy isn't. And then built on that to talk about why it's important to have friction-free e-commerce and how that actually can help your strategy get you where you want to go. And so I'm just going to keep building on this because this is so critical. I mean, it's changing every single day. But what doesn't change is the underlying strategy and the underlying tactics and the underlying efforts of what you do to meet the needs of your customers. And the first thing that doesn't change is it really is about doing what's best for your customers, doing what's right for your customers. The more you do to help your customers achieve their goals, the more effective you'll be at achieving your goals. Really, so much of digital marketing, so much of internet marketing, so much of e-commerce is about finding that intersection between your customers' goals and your goals and making that as seamless a process, as friction-free a process as you possibly can. Now, one of the reasons I've been harping on mobile since the very beginning of this podcast, since our very first episode, is because your customers are moving to mobile in such huge, huge numbers. Faster than I think anybody realized they would, faster than anybody thought they would, maybe even faster than anybody hoped they would. There's data out from Marketing Charts this week that says for most global mobile internet users, phones are the primary device that they use for surfing the web. Now, I will tell you right up front, this data does not include the United States, and it does not include the UK, and I don't believe it includes Canada. So I don't think this is North America. I'm not sure if Mexico is in here or not. I know for sure it does not include US. I know for sure it does not include the UK. But what the data shows is that 60%, 6 out of 10 mobile internet users across 14 key markets around the world say that they typically go online to surf the web mostly, that's about 37%, or just short of 4 out of 10 of them, or exclusively, a little over 2 out of 10, 23%. So there's your 60% who go online mostly or exclusively from their mobile phone. Now, again, this doesn't include data from the UK, it doesn't include data from the US, and we can just go arg to that and be frustrated, but it is what it is. What we do know is that the numbers in the US and in the UK are comparable. We see very similar realities around the world. And another piece of marketing charts data that's worth noting is they've pulled together some data that talks about what they call always-on consumers, or AOCs. And they say that 3 out of 4 always-on consumers visit social networks, while 2/3 frequent news and magazine websites, and 1/2 visit company websites. This is data from Vivaldi Partners Group. But the link is on marketing charts, and that'll be in the show notes. They talk about the online behavior of individuals who use at least 3 connected devices, go online multiple times per day, and go online from at least 3 different physical locations. So maybe their home, their office, and I don't know, where they go for lunch or something like that. Now, here's the key takeaway. Key, and so critical and so important to what we've been talking about for the last 7 weeks, which is AOCs, so always-on consumers, most commonly seek out practical information for everyday situations, 69% of them. So that's a huge number, right? 7 out of 10 seek out practical information. They have a task, they have a goal, they have something they want to accomplish, and they pull out their mobile phone or their tablet, no matter where they are, to get the information they need so that they can do what they need to do and then get back to whatever else it is they were doing before they pulled out their phone. Right? That's huge. They also gather information about hobbies and personal interests. That's about 60%. And finding special offers, discounts, and promotions. That's about 57%. According to the data, slightly more than 1/2 of AOCs are obtaining information about products and brands. That's where you come in. So that's huge. Now, what's interesting, and I was talking a moment ago about these mostly or exclusive internet users around the world, the report indicates, this is right out of the report, some 48% of U.S. consumers can be considered always on per the definition above. So almost 1/2 of all U.S. consumers go online 3 times a day from 3 different devices in at least 3 physical locations. That's extraordinary. But we're seeing that all over the place. And the good thing is you're starting to see some best practices emerge from this. Shop.org has a blog post that gives tips from Guild Group and Crate and Barrel and Kiehl's on how you can unlock mobile conversions. I'm not going to go into some of the details of those yet, because I want to cover a few different things first, but obviously the link will be in the show notes at timpeter.com/podcast. That's on shop.org's blog. Mobile Commerce Daily talks about how Target and some other big brands are building tools to convert mobile gaming into commerce, to engage customers and to attract them and to get them to actually pull out their credit cards and buy. Now, one of the things that has occurred because of this is the growth in data. We know so much more about what the customers are doing because we know where they are and when they're online and where they are using their phones and all of that stuff, right? So we get a clear picture of what they're doing. And what that's driving, now you've all heard big data, well, mobile is actually helping drive that a lot. And Get Elastic, so this is Linda Bustos over at Get Elastic, has a great piece that talks about 4 different ways that big data will transform e-commerce. And I'm going to come back to mobile in just a second, but you'll see where these tie together in just a moment. What they're seeing is that big data is using neural networks and deep learning to do natural language processing, a la Siri or Google Conversational Search, obviously a heavily mobile experience, or for that matter, Watson, which we've talked about before in a past episode. They're doing image recognition. So Amazon now has a price comparison tool where you simply take a photo of the item and it will search for that. Google's doing the same thing. As the article notes, Google is working on giving computers the ability to see. It's already built a tool that can recognize human faces, body parts, and cats, the most common contents of YouTube stills and Google Hangouts. And then, of course, I know, cats. You can't do internet marketing and not talk about cats. The other thing is anticipatory purchases. Now, I talked about this last week, where Amazon is going to start shipping you things you haven't ordered yet because they think they know what it is you're going to buy. That's huge. Another example in the real world also comes from Mobile Commerce Daily that talks about an ad network in Chicago that's going to target transit riders on their mobile devices so that they can drive sales. You know, what they're doing is, quote, predictive geo-targeting to deliver offers based on individual rider travel routines and preferences, with the ads delivered inside transit applications that collect transit data, such as train and bus trackers. So this is where big data and mobile kind of come together to anticipate what the customer wants and reach them at an appropriate time and place. That's huge. Huge. As they give an example, a local bar could promote a daily special to consumers who take a bus or train that passes by their location. Very straightforward. Now, that's enormous. And we're seeing this same behavior everywhere. Teen News has a piece that talks about the fact that a third of Americans under 34 are perfectly happy with booking their travel on mobile. Benedict Evans has a great piece that talks about how Google really is just a big data collection engine, and mobile is one of the things helping them do that. Now, I've talked about AgFam many, many, many times. That's Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Microsoft. And again, this ties in the big data piece. Here they are using this data to get a good picture of the customer so that they can, again, figure out what's the easiest way to help the customer achieve their goals, to drive their own business revenues, drive their own business goals to fruition. Now, some people say, you probably all heard last week about Facebook buying WhatsApp for $19 billion. Many people think it's about the data, right? Quartz has a whole piece that says, you know, maybe mobile advertising isn't a good business model. And if you notice, WhatsApp doesn't do any advertising. Yet it was still worth $19 billion to Mark Zuckerberg to get his hands on those customers and learn about what they do. That's huge. So, of course, it underscores what I've said before, and I had a post about this a couple of weeks ago that said, you know, holy crap, mobile's even bigger than you thought. It's huge. And that's why we're spending so much time talking about it, because that's what your customers are spending their time with. Now, what do they expect? How can you make it work? I said I'd come back to some of these techniques. First, remember that it's not a separate channel. Mobile is really glue that connects multiple channels together. It helps you learn about the customer, and the data helps you target that customer more effectively. It is also a fact that customers expect great experiences everywhere. You're probably getting tired of hearing me say that customers don't go online. They are online. They're now used to the internet everywhere. One of the top trends shaping e-commerce in 2014 is the fact that this is everywhere, just like the data we talked about at the top of the show says, right? These folks are doing everything everywhere and expect they can accomplish their goals when they want. It's undoubtedly true that the AgFam folks are doing a great job in this area. They're being really focused on this. But the same tips that help you succeed matter just as much to compete. You don't want to just trust Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, or Microsoft. You want to use where they're good to your advantage so that you can help your customers most effectively. Now, one technique that I highly, highly, highly recommend is responsive design. That's a really big deal, and in fact is one of those core topics that drive engagement that I talked about before. The data shows 77% of respondents to a survey most essential for engagement, detailing what's most essential for engagement. 77% said responsive design used responsive design, and 23%, the second most folks in the study, said it was an essential channel in terms of helping business objectives. Now, why is that? One, responsive sites generally rank better for SEO. They've got more content typically than a standalone site does. They've got more pages. Google, they get updated more frequently. They're easier for you to update, and so that tends to improve your SEO rankings. Because they're easier to update, they tend to be less expensive in the long run. They're almost always more expensive in the short run. But if you're going to have the site for any period of time, more than, 18 months or so, usually a responsive site pays for itself in the lowered expense of maintaining the thing. And this one's a little less absolute, but typically the people who will build you a responsive site are thinking about how to make it degrade gracefully across the widest range of devices. Whereas a standalone might be done as a standalone for an iPhone, or might be done standalone for an Android phone, or it just may be done standalone for a phone, but may not also be as effective when used on, say, a tablet like an iPad or a Nexus Tab or something like that. So responsive design is something I strongly, strongly encourage. And it's definitely something that can help you engage your customers on mobile and be more effective. You can meet their needs more effectively. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, my gosh, we are running really long today. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Now, before I go, I did a talk last week at NYU, and one of the people I spoke with said, how do you keep up on all of this stuff? I mean, it's great that we read your blog and all that, but how can we keep track of the same stuff that interests you and that you use to find out what's going on and everything? And I thought it's a very fair question. And so I actually wrote that up last week in a post called 42 Essential Blogs and News Sources I Read Religiously. So I'm going to link to that in the show notes as well, and I would encourage you to check that out too. Maybe you will find it useful. All right, I really am going to wrap up now. We are running super duper long. I want to thank you again, as always, for tuning in. I want to remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast, clicking on the subscribe link in any of the episodes. You can search in iTunes or Stitcher or your favorite podcatcher for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or just plain old Thinks Out Loud. We should come up right away. And of course, you can email me at podcast@timpeter.com. Again, podcast@timpeter.com. We love to hear from you, your questions, comments, complaints, concerns, any old thing that may happen across your mind as you're listening to this or any other episode of Thinks Out Loud. And with that, I want to wish you all a wonderful rest of the week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, and I do look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.